Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. It's Anthony here. I know it's been a while since I've made a podcast episode and life has been just extremely hectic. But so without further ado, we're going to get into today's episode. And this is one of the things that I've actually encountered for the past several months, and I feel like I need to address it, kind of, where a lot of people are questioning why you guys don't see my last name, or you guys see my identity, or you guys don't see anything specifically in terms of pictures and certifications, and that's fine. And today, I just wanted to address that and maybe go over a little clarify a little bit of what and why I do what I do. So one of the questions I get a lot, and again, in the intro, we really went over it a little bit, was why my last name is not out in public. And that's been a recurring question from a lot of you guys on Instagram, Facebook, and other avenues of even interviews and stuff like that I've done. And that's not a problem. What I want to really say is the reason why I keep my identity kind of closed and private is simply because I'm in the industry, right? So I'm working in the industry. I'm in here with the industry giants. I'm with these different brands. And honestly, if my identity was out there, it'd be pretty hard to get any additional training. It'd be hard to work without actually having to explain everything that I do, and without actual because if I'm doing this at my job, or if I'm doing this on the side outside of my job, this would be considered in theory a conflict of interest, right? So in theory, stuff like that is not recommended, especially if you are a watchmaker and you're in this field and whatnot. So when I am in the industry here and I'm working independently, or if I'm working on a brand, or if I'm working with a different industry giant, in general, if they know the background information, it's going to be a little difficult for me to even go for trainings where you're learning their in-house methods. So let's just say, for example, if my identity was out there and they knew who I was, and they know that I teach watchmaking online, or they know that I share information to the masses, or they know that I critique the industry a good amount. When you're going out there and you're doing these podcast episodes, or you're doing these video courses, and you're sharing stuff on Instagram and Facebook, a lot of these people are going to be leery of sharing any information with you, because they know that you have the option to share it with a lot of people right away. So, I mean, it's going to be hit or miss, right? Some brands or some companies will actually use that as a good thing, and they'll probably exploit it by trying to get you to promote their stuff then. And honestly, where I'm coming from is if anything like that ever happens, then that ruins the authenticity and message that I'm trying to bring across. So if I'm influenced by a brand, like many of these watch magazines and review companies are, it's not going to be an unbiased view. You know, it's not going to be straight from the watchmaker. It's going to be essentially propaganda and marketing material for other companies. Whereas these companies should be doing it themselves. These companies should be going out, and these companies should be creating their own accounts and interacting with their clients and whatnot. And that's kind of the critique I get a lot. You know, it's like, hey, how can we trust this guy? He doesn't even have his last name out there. He doesn't have his identity. He doesn't have his certifications out there. And that's fine. Honestly, I'm a big believer in letting your actions speak for itself. So if my actions don't live up to a watchmaker, then hey, consider me a charlatan and whatnot. And that's fine. But I know that compared to my stuff, where a lot of my stuff is free, almost like 99% of my stuff is free and not behind a paywall, and the stuff that I do charge for is usually things that would cost over hundreds of thousands of dollars that you would have to pay for schooling and tooling. Some of my, I wouldn't even say competitors or whatnot, but some of these people who critique me a lot are actually, believe it or not, coming from other watchmakers who are learning online. It's not the watchmakers that are in the field anymore. And I remember when I first started, it was the watchmakers out in the field that were critiquing me because I was sharing industry secrets. Now, those watchmakers are actually no longer critiquing me. I actually don't get as many death threats and whatnot about sharing the industry secrets anymore because they're starting to realize now themselves that they're getting blocked out from these informations, and there's actually no other way for you to get insider information unless you're part of the circle. So a lot of these independent watchmakers now, they're not really giving me flack anymore. They're actually messaging me to give them insider information, which is cool. Like I don't mind, and I think that's cool when your initial haters become your fans and become your friends, and that's great. But now the people who are giving me flack are the people who are trying to be watchmakers and are learning watchmaking online. And they're signing up for other people's courses, and that's cool, and that's wonderful. I'm not bashing anybody's courses or whatnot. And there's always more than one way to skin the cat. There's different methods you can learn from. You know, there's always different ways you can get to one specific location, and that's great. I think having more locations and more options are better. Okay, the question is whether or not the quality and the standard practices are there. So just to give you a perfect example, you know, instead of, let's just say if you need to go from Texas or if you need to go from California to Canada, there's different ways to get there. You can take a boat there, you can drive there, you can take an airplane there. Or you can even take a train there, probably. Which one is the best one? Maybe getting on an airplane is significantly faster and shorter and will get you there sooner than maybe driving a car or taking the train or taking a boat. And that's where I'm getting at. So a lot of the things that people are teaching online, there are different ways and there are different methods. That's great, but they're also not as convenient or standard practices within the industry, and that's the problem. A lot of these guys who are teaching online, they might be in watchmaking. They might be doing the act of watchmaking. They might even, you know, be creating parts and whatnot. That's great, but they're not in the industry in the sense where they're not up to date with standards and practices. They're not within certain operating procedures. They're not within the 21st century of practices. You know, some of the methods that some of these people are doing are obsolete or not ideal, right? So I remember I was watching this video. Someone recommended adjusting the end shake balance to correct an issue by bending it or creating like a little dimple right underneath the balance bridge. And that's not really ideal. There's a time and place for everything, of course, and I get that. So it's little things like that where it's not ideal, or if you were to do some of these techniques that these guys are doing next to a watchmaker in the field, or next to a watchmaker that's working for a big brand, or next to a top executive in the watchmaking, they will laugh at you so fast and disregard you and anything you say before you can even do anything else. Okay, there's a lot of things that people are teaching online, and that's great. They have their identities out. They have their, you know, I've seen a couple of people get certifications from specific courses after they complete the course, and that's cool. But you got to remember, those certifications are inflated. They're not recognized by industry giants, you know, like, you can't come to an industry giant or apply for a watchmaking brand with like three pieces of paper that you've gotten online with no real backing behind it. It's not like it's like saying, the best way I can explain it to you is like, instead of going through proper schooling to get your bachelor's, master's, and PhD, you're going to attend someone else's course for maybe about 1 year, and then he writes you a paperwork that says you have your PhD, and then trying to bring that PhD to a job interview that says that you've gone through proper schooling. Does that make any sense? So when I'm saying things like this, what I'm trying to say is it does not matter what it doesn't matter what my identity is. It doesn't matter my last name. It doesn't matter pictures. It doesn't matter certifications. I have watchmakers who comment on everything that I do, and they critique everything that I do, and I appreciate that. And I definitely appreciate that. And I'm always open to criticism, but they're critiquing me in good things. You know, they're saying I should talk about this more. They're talking about this more. I should do this more often. I should review this, or I should do this. And that's cool. And that's what I kind of want. And that's kind of what this brand, this No BS Watchmaker, has been able to provide me. This No BS Watchmaker has been able to give me the ability to do things like this. If I went under an actual name, if I went under my real name or whatnot, who's to say Anthony's even my real name, right? If I went under these different, if I went under my real name and whatnot, it's going to be significantly harder, because I can guarantee you the industry isn't going to give me these informations. And the people who do have their identity out, who are, you know, have their full credentials and identity out and are teaching watchmaking courses online, the very first thing that an industry giant or top executive within the company or industries will do is to limit the amount of information provided if they believe that the person or the individual has the ability to speak to the masses and share that information. It's the watchmaking industry is a very hush-hush industry. Do you honestly think that they will give 100% of their knowledge to someone that they believe could share that information with tens and thousands of people? Definitely not. Okay, and if you do think that, you have to change your mentality, because that is not the way watchmaking industry works. That might be the way for other industries, but that is not the way for this specific industry. This specific industry is very old school, very, very old school. It has even yet to use 100% of the technological advances that we've had so far, okay? And in terms of that, that is why I try to keep this identity private, okay? So if you're critiquing me about why I'm doing this, and if you're critiquing me why my identity is not 100% public, then this is my answer to you, okay? And if you have a problem with that, I have no problem. I certainly have no problem with that. You can follow someone else, and that's fine. I try my best to provide up-to-date information as always. And if I do mess up on something, or if what I teach is outdated, I have no problem going back to correct it, because I'm still learning myself. And there's no one watchmaker out there in the world that knows everything in watchmaking. I hope you understand that. So even for me, even for everything that I say, excuse me. Even for everything that I say, there are still certain subjects and areas in watchmaking that I am an absolute white belt in. So I don't say that I know everything, but the things that I do know, I stay in my lane. And I try my best to talk about what I know, what I think I know, and what I think that people should know about watchmaking. And that's where I'm at. So honestly, if I go public with my identity tomorrow, I would have probably significantly more followers, let's just say, because I'm more authentic, if you want to see it that way, and I'm more transparent with my identity, and that's cool. But I will have significantly less information to share, and I would have significantly less up-to-date practices to give to you guys. Okay, so hopefully that ends that rant. Okay, so hopefully you guys understand where I'm coming back from a little bit. So if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoy this podcast, or if you know someone that follows me as well that needs to hear this, please, please forward this message to them. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review. That only helps me out. If you know, it might seem meaningless to you, but writing a review on the podcast episode actually helps me with ranking and helps me keep doing what I'm doing. So if you can possibly do something like that, that'd be wonderful. If not, that's cool. I hope you have a great day and enjoy the rest of your weekend and or week, guys. So take care.